Let's start the lighting talks. If we could get the music down, that'd be perfect. Welcome, everyone. My name is Kirils, and I'll be your stage manager slash herald slash everything for the lighting talks today. Lighting talks are these amazing things where you get up to 4 minutes to present your stuff, your idea, what you did at the camp today, what you did during COVID in the last 18 months, how do you survive COVID. We're going to have a lot of... Oh, we're not going to have any talks about COVID. That's good, I guess. COVID is gone. So, we still have 5 or maybe 4 now slots free. If you have a lightning talk, you can still apply. Just go to the wiki. If you're watching this online, you can also go to the wiki, apply, and we have a process created for you so you can participate remotely, so you can present remotely. Right, it's all in there. If you need any help, you can write me. There is a timer, and it's not visible from here, I think. Yeah, but you can't see it. You can't see it from the stage. But at some point, it's gonna go down to zero, and then when it's nearing zero, I'm gonna be sitting right here over there, or maybe standing. Right, I'm gonna do the thing. You know what to do, right? I'm gonna do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, like that. I'm not sure if I still have time because... Oh, yeah, I still have time, yeah. So that's basically it. For the slides. Not like regular lighting talks. Here you can have more than one slide. You can also have less than one slide, if you prefer. There's HDMI over here. If you need a dongle, bring a dongle. We also have dongles over there. And you usually will have up to 1 minute before your slot to test the video, the stuff. Yes. And lightning talks usually have no Q&A, so thank you. And the next lightning talk is 8:05, How to Properly Use a Microphone by Sophie. So see you 8:05.
Should I just start, or do we do it with like at point?
There is still a red light there.
The time has already started.
Welcome to my lighting talk, how to probably use a microphone. Maybe you can learn something from me today and just use it on your own lighting talk later. Kunzi, next slide. I have a microphone here with me and I have a phone in front of me. This microphone has something on the inside. That's the capsule in here. That's the grill. This capsule is open at the front. There's a picture over there too, and a cut of the microphone. It's open in the front and it's open here all around. That makes the microphone kind of directional. Next slide. There is the pickup pattern. The microphone only works if you're talking into it from the front. It doesn't work from the side. Let me demonstrate. I am here besides the microphone and you almost can't hear me anymore. You have to talk directly into the front of the microphone. It's also not very nice to use this microphone as kind of a shaving device. Directly in front of your mouth, it is best. Next slide, please. This is kind of what happens when the microphone is really close to my mouth. Here, the first row in this table, it's like a really full, not much from around me. and a little bit farther away, the tone gets a little bit thinner and nicer to listen to. Really close away, it doesn't pick anything up anymore. And I think none of us can speak with their stomach, so the microphone down here doesn't work. Microphones aren't any pointing sticks. Let me switch around. You have to keep your microphone in front of you. And it's still green. I don't have to fill it. Yes, what's left? Yes, we are not doing beatboxing. Cupping the microphone in the back is really bad, because then it loses its directionality. You can maybe hear it, it's almost feeding back. Keep it at the shaft of the microphone, not at the capsule. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Sophie. And the next talk is gonna be embedding data in Twitch videos using old tricks by Stitch. Setup time.
I'm doing something that the steganographists of you all know, and I'm trying to bring it to another level. I'm talking a little bit about images. First, there is a problem. One, I try to make a crappy show on Twitch, and it has video, and it has audio. And then Twitch does something, and then they don't like the audio, so they strip it away. That's a terrible thing, so I cannot play my copyrighted songs without paying royalties and such. And I do want to play copyrighted music. So the solution is to, instead of having audio as a separate thing, embed the audio inside the video. So add the data of the audio inside the video. So you can just read the image that you get, that you download, and from that extract the audio file. Okay. That's pretty simple, actually. So if you have an image, it has a lot of pixels, right? Everybody knows pixels. If you have a 4K image, you have 3,000 times 2,000, that's like 8 million pixels. So you can probably embed tons of data and complete musical albums into that stream. So what is a pixel? A pixel is essentially 4 bytes in a 4 byte RGBA image. So you have red, green, blue, and alpha transparency. And there's like a bit, so there's 8 bits for every color. And the highest, most important bit is the thing that you can see easiest. And this is the bit that you don't see at all. So if you want to be stealthy, you can just replace this row of bits with your own data. And that's what we're going to do. And that looks a little bit like this. So if you replace, if you have an image and you replace everything of that image except one specific bit, for example, the second green bit, then you get something like this. This is from, how is he called? Window Licker from FX Twin, crazy weird stuff, awesome. So you still get some sort of shape of the original image, and the rest is data. You can extract that. The second step, of course, you want to make the image look nice and then still have the data there embedded. But in fact, for this project, it doesn't matter if you can see that there's extra data piggybacked over your video stream. So this is the point where I'm at now. So I can add music files to images and resize the images to fit the music file. So have another way, like I can just add an MP3 and put it in some kind of image hoster, and I can share MP3 files with also an image attached to it. So the next step is to figure out how MP3s work and how MP3 streams work. That's something that I'm going into dive into next, and then chop it up into different frames and different parts of the video. So in the end, the goal is to have a browser plugin, and if you go to a Twitch video, then you can hear the music being streamed along with the video file. So not in a separate channel where Twitch can hear it, but only you can hear it. So that's very nice. And it's not really hard. It's not really complicated technology. It's been done before. And it's really fun to work with. So it's nice to do that journey on your own and experience how this works. It's like converting an data to an image is like one line of Python. If you want to do the thing with bits, it's a bit more work, but it's still simple. MP3s are also simple and well supported and documented. So the next step, I hope next year there will be another Lightning Talk that shows that that will be a video, an audio stream inside of the video. So one of the things that is really hard is that how does Twitch deal with image quality? Is color accuracy a thing? No, it's not. So you need some kind of a compensation algorithm to make sure that a green-ish means this and red-ish means that. You have things with keyframes, and that's something that constantly changes. So it needs to be resilient, and that's the challenge. And one final funny thing is, I found out that if I convert an image to MP3 to and then make an image and then compress the image using a different compression algorithm, it will be smaller than the original MP3.
Thank you so much, Stitch. And the next slot is playing with FPGAs for fun and profit by Robotman2412.
Wow, okay. I haven't used microphones that often, so we'll see how this goes. But my talk is about playing with FPGAs for fun and for profit. Maybe not so much for profit, but first, who am I? I'm Julian. I'm from Team Badge. I like to do CPU design in my spare time, and I also very much like blinky lights. With that obligatory stuff out of the way. What is an FPGA? Well, an FPGA is programmable, but not in the software sense where you can sequentially have things happen. It's more you actually change the hardware, you design what an integrated circuit is supposed to do, and you actually make it on an FPGA. You can use this for many things like digital signal processing. So think of video compression, audio compression, think of speech recognition. You could probably do that steganography stuff on it. but also more even nerdier stuff like math and CPUs. One of the things you could do with it is make a graphics card. Because the badge for MCH will have an FPGA on it. So you could feasibly mirror the output of the display to HDMI if you wanted to. You could take in some audio and visualize it on screen. You could theoretically... No, you couldn't actually do that. Whatever. You could put multiple Z80s on it, probably. At least one will fit. More will probably also fit. If you'd like to, you could emulate an entire NES. I hadn't really thought of anything else to talk about, so any questions? Yes, you can. That's how they work. On the badge, you just... it's a Python one-liner to upload a image to the FPGA. Well, it depends on which FPGA it is. I don't know what the ICE40 has on it, but some FPGAs have thousands. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Robert Mann. And the next topic is Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure by Krisha. Setup time. As you noticed, we also have two more timers, one over there, one over there. That timer over there is actually made possible in part by the previous speaker. So thanks for that. Oh, and there's light. Apparently people online were not able to see us, huh? I recall 4 years ago, I was doing a workshop on Wireshark. It was workshop in one of the small tents, and it was a 4-hour workshop because it was in one of the small tents, and they allowed that, and it was starting around this time. Oh, that's cool. It was starting around that time, and middle of the presentation, it just got dark and dark and darker, and they couldn't see me in the end. Krisha, mic is yours.
I'm Chris, team lead music. So to get you in the mood, I'm going to sing a song for you. No, just kidding. I'm going to give a presentation on the Dutch Institute of Vulnerability Disclosure. Hey. So what do we do? We disclose vulnerability by scanning the whole internet, all 4.2 billion IP version 4 addresses we scan on common vulnerabilities and exposures, but also 0 days we found. We're an institute. We're currently with 64 volunteers who do this kind of work, infrastructure, hackers, support personnel. And we're also a foundation, so we get some money from support. And we do it in a Dutch style, open, direct, honest, and for free. Let me introduce you to one of the cases we're currently running. We're doing now 24 researchers. One of them was Kaseya VSA. And if you watch the news, you might have discovered that Riffle launched a worldwide ransomware attack on the 2nd of July. Here on the right, you see Wietse Boonstra. He's a pen tester. He found 8 0-days in Kaseya VSA, which is software for managed service providers. So if you hack those, you can hack their, well, hundreds or thousands of customers at the same time. We disclosed it to Kaseya. They collaborated with us. They updated, they made patches. We tested it again. Then the ransomware attack came loose. And you see here on the right, Victor Gevers. And it's actually the guy where the whole DFID started, because he has been doing responsible disclosure for his whole life, had thousands of responsible disclosures, but now we speed it up with the full collective. So when Kaseya was being attacked, we already had the 2,200 managed service providers on our button to scan, to warn them, you're running Cassia VSI, put it out, because you will be hacked by Revol. In the Netherlands, we got all managed service providers using this, which were 145 down in two days. So yeah, we kind of saved the world, to be humbly. Statistically, it looks like this. So you have these 2,200 managed service providers running Cassia, thinking everything is well. We discovered a zero day. We already knew they were running this. So when the shit hit the fan, we got all their IP addresses. We could email them. We could contact them saying, put Cassia VSI out because you are going to be hacked. And here you see the stats going down. So if you're a hacker and you're happy on hunting on CVEs, zero days or anything like that, and you don't want to be on the dark side, but you just want to help the society, join the Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure, because it's coordinated vulnerability disclosure on steroids. And it's also a way to collaborate with each other, to help each other. It's real team spirit. One person finds 0 days, another person writes a good POC, another person writes a script for the scans, another person does the handling. And it's me, Chris, the secretary who tries to keep people just talking with each other, because I'm the least technical person of all, but the more social person, keeping everybody together, and I designed the logo. So if you want to join us, you can send me an email, chris@divd.nl. Go to the website, and for the techies, we got our own autonomous system, 50559, it's us. So we got 54 IP addresses. So if we scan the world, they know it's us. So currently many service providers, internet providers, hosting providers are putting us on their whitelist. So if we scan them, they know it's not the bad guys, it's the good guys just helping them out. And that's it.
Thank you, Chris. Our next presentation is a team content update on the CFP for MCH 2022, or in full terms, team content update on the call for papers for May Contained Hackers, or as we discussed today, maybe COVID Hacker Event 2022 by CrabLab.
I don't have slides, which makes it nice and simple. This is very much a plug from team content. We will be, hopefully, if planned, as on the wiki, releasing the CFP, call for papers, on the 13th of September. If you would please, A, put awesome things on there yourself, just like these lightning talks, except longer, and would you please share it with your network via whatever mechanism, Signal, Telegram, LinkedIn, Facebook, other social networking, or, you know, in person by speaking to people, so that we get loads more awesome people signing up. We have 80 CFPs from last year that hopefully we will carry most of them forward. If you have any questions, then there are 3 people from team content here. Yeah, please sign up. Please put awesome things in there. Please help make MCH 2022 great. Thank you.
Short and sweet. So we do have 2 more slots, 2 more speakers, but we also have 4 more empty slots in case you still want to talk about anything. If you're here in Zeewolde or if you're somewhere online, you're welcome to put it on the wiki. I'm going to be checking it for the next 5 to 10 minutes, so be sure to submit. The next talk is The Pilot Just Died and You Don't Want To. By Taraxacum. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Yeah. Okay, then we go to Team Volunteers by Bas Oort.
Way easier if you don't need slides. Hi, everybody. And I should use the microphone. I'm not used to that. I'm normally standing in front of a classroom where I don't have one of these things. So I'll grab it and I'll have it a little bit closer. Oh, that's better. Yeah, I like it. Okay, so first up, as part of Team Volunteers, thank you all for already volunteering. You're doing an awesome job. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome. So our job as Team Volunteers is to keep current volunteers happy and to entice new ones to come and join our little party and help out. First and foremost, the most important thing, yes, there will be food and drinks, which is important to know. A lot of people have already been asking us, so yes, food and drink, sorted. Okay, second part, we want to entice more people to help out at the event, and so we'll be doing some new experiments, some new things to try, and one of the is one we're already wanting to share. We're going to work with pins. When you do a shift for a team, you can collect a special pin for that task or that team. We're not entirely sure yet. So if you do a trash shift, if you take out all the waste, you get a nice little recycling pin. Or if you help out at the help desk for NOC, you get a nice little pin with a networking logo. I don't know. No idea yet. So what we would like you to think of as part of teams already, start thinking about, hey, what can we do? What would we like on our pin? You don't have to tell me right now, please don't, because I will forget anyway. We haven't even asked for any quotes from any supplier yet, so put it, but keep it in the back of your mind. What would be cool for you to have to hand out to your volunteers? So, thank you.
It's green now.
Yeah. The projector is up, and this might be the final lightning talk of today. We will have other self-organized activities after this, of course. But once again, the pilot just died, and you don't want to, by Taraxacon.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do this many slides. I've got 11. And I also didn't know it had to be on a topic that you'd actually done. I haven't done this. So the pilot just died, and you don't want it. You're in a small aircraft. And the first thing you do is you don't panic. The plane will fly for at least another hour. There's fuel, no worries. The pilot is dead, don't worry about him either. Just go fly the fucking plane. Planes need speed to fly. Airspeed, specifically. Ground speed doesn't matter. It keeps you in the air. So there's this dial somewhere. Try to keep the needle in this green area. That's good. If it's anywhere else, you're probably going to die. So how do you keep it there? If the plane is too fast, just pull back on the yoke a bit. And it'll go up. And it'll slow down. If you want to speed up, you just push it a bit. And it'll go faster. That's the stick you use to control the aircraft. You will have seen it by this point. The pilot will have used it. So the next thing you do is you look outside because you don't want to fly into stuff. And because the plane is going to fly for a while, just relax and enjoy your first time as a solo pilot. Gently push and pull the yoke and you'll feel and just... Oh, but do keep looking at that airspeed indicator because if it does go too low, you will die. So when you're comfortable flying, there's a small button on that same yoke that's for the radio. Push it on your yoke, not on the dead pilot ones, and just call, "Mayday, mayday, mayday! My name is Pascal! The pilot is dead! Help me!" And then release the button so you can actually hear what they say. And they'll help you. They're just happy to help you find an airport. They'll probably take you to the largest airport they can find, because that's easy to land at. So, an actually landing a plane, it's actually not that hard. It's just hitting the ground, but very gently. Just gently. So there's also a lever. You will also have seen the pilot use this. When you pull it, the plane, you lower the throttle. If you push it, it'll go faster. So you find that and you pull it just a bit. And then you find this instrument. And if you keep this needle between here and here, the plane will slowly go to the ground. That's good. And if you don't want to go so fast, just give it a bit more throttle and it'll go back up again. So keep it at about 500 feet per minute. At some point, you'll see the runway. The good thing to remember is you can try this many times, but you can crash only once. Remember, if you want to have another try, before you crash, just full throttle and it'll go away. It'll go up again and just give it another go. And then the actual landing. And this is the really important bit that every pilot does every time they try to land a plane, a small plane. You're just above the runway. You made your approach and then you reduce the throttle, pull the thing back, and then you just try to keep flying. And as long as you keep flying, it'll gently touch down. And if you suddenly balloon up, just give it full throttle, try again. So now you've landed your plane. Congratulations, you made the evening news. And you even get to give an interview instead of a sad obituary. That's it. So flying is not that expensive, actually. It's like 12,000 euros and you have your license.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. And we are done with the Lightning Talk schedule. We have 4 slots remaining, but that's life. And now to tell you about what's happening around us and behind us is Stitch. With presentation. One more presentation.
I just want to have some more light. So, thank you all for being here. The plan for tonight is just to have party, to have fun. There's the beer, mate, drink whatever, eat whatever. Tomorrow, the plan for tomorrow might be nice to know. There will be, of course, breakfast or early lunch, whatever you want. And then we'll start around 12 with teardown of these tents. Please stay around. So, no, it's not. It's not a slide. Should I can do it like this. Alrighty. Excellent. So please stay tomorrow and help with tearing down the tents and cleaning everything up and making sure that nobody could ever know that we have ever been here except us and the video. And then at 6 we hope to be done completely, and the tents will be moved off-site at Tuesday by Mac. Thank you very much. Give a hand to Mac for returning the tents. Don't applaud with the mic in your hand. So, have a great night and let's party on. Hey!